From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're now less than 2 weeks away from Election Day, and surveys say the race between Democratic nominee Kamala Harris and Republican Donald Trump is a dead heat. People always say your vote matters, but this year that's especially true if you're in one of the handful of states that are expected to decide this election. And some of the most important and impactful and contested votes will come from Hispanic and Latino Americans. According to the Pew Research Center, an estimated 36.2 million Latinos will be eligible to vote this election, and this makes Latinos the second largest voting bloc in this country. And in recent years, there's been a rise in Latinos voting Republican as opposed to Democratic. This isn't actually new. George W. Bush, in his re-election campaign in 2004, he got 40% of the Latino vote. And even President Ronald Reagan was aware of the emerging power of Latino voters in 1983.
Americans of Hispanic descent understand completely the traditional values of work, of family, of freedom, and of God. Well, America needs the values of our Hispanic citizens, and nothing would please me more than to see the Republican National Hispanic Assembly become the voice of millions of Hispanics in our country. Hispanic Americans know the real meaning of this country. Those who fled oppression especially cherish America's freedom. Those who fled poverty especially cherish Americans' opportunity. And all of us deeply love this beautiful ideal that is America.
We asked members of our texting group about this. We heard from Ricardo in Urbana, who said, "The party that understands that we are not a homogenous bloc gets it. In Illinois, most Latinos are Illinois-born, so they get to vote. Few of the newcomers have that privilege. We are mostly socially conservative, yet capitalist, and know well the power of elections and value democracy." You can join us today at 800-222-9455. We're going to be talking about this trend, this reported trend this year, that more Latinos are voting Republican than in recent elections, and other aspects of this issue. Again, 800-222-9455. Joining us now to talk more about this is Luis Noe Bustamante, a research associate at the Pew Research Center. Luis, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Also with us is Josue David Cisneros, associate professor of communications, also Latino and Latina studies at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Josue, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
And I want to begin, Luis, with you. We already mentioned how many Latino Americans are eligible to vote in this election cycle. And so far, the surveys say a majority still plan to vote Democratic. But what is the big story of party and candidate preference this year?
The survey, we saw that 54% of Latino registered voters said that they would vote for Vice President Harris in the presidential election, while 38% said they would vote for former President Trump. That is a slightly narrower margin than what we saw in the 2020 results, when President Biden got 61% of the Latino vote, former President Trump got 36%. But it is an improvement compared to where President Biden was in July of this year, when in one of our surveys, he had 36% of the vote intention among Latinos, which matched former President Trump's share at that time.
But so that's the current election, and you're talking about where President Biden stood a few months ago. How does that compare to the preferences that we saw from Latino voters in 2016, 2012, 2008?
Well, in 2016, the margin in favor of Hillary Clinton was even wider compared to the 2020 results. 66% of Latino voters voted for Hillary Clinton, while 28% voted for former President Trump. So that margin got smaller in 2020. And if recent surveys were to materialize where Vice President Harris and former President Trump stand, and now it would become even a narrower margin.
All right, Josue, I want to bring you into the conversation. Talk about the ways that you see Latinos portrayed by Democrats and Republicans.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and thanks for inviting me. I think I would say that we see Latino and Latina communities portrayed in maybe like in ways that are in tension. You know, on one hand, as you mentioned, right, since at least the 1980s and before, and still today, there's kind of talk about the Latino vote and its importance. Latinos as new Americans, you know, you played that quote from President Reagan, you know, and then on the other hand, just as on the other hand, we see the way that Latinos are portrayed in a negative light as, you know, as threats, threats to steal resources or to cause crime. And so I think, you know, obviously those portrayals are in tension and have been for some time. We see those on, you know, both, honestly, both on the, in the Democratic and in the Republican nominees, although obviously there are differences between them and between the ways they represent Latinos and Latinas. But I think those contradictory representations or portrayals kind of represent, you know, the tensions between trying to appeal to Latinos as a homogenous voting group, which, as you know, even one of the contributors you quoted, Ricardo, you know, said there that they're not a homogenous voting group. On the other side, trying to portray them as a homogenous voting group in order to appeal to particular, you know, wider concerns in the electorate about, you know, crime or immigration or things like that. So what's interesting is that both the positive and the negative portrayals kind of seem to have this underlying assumption, which I think is worth thinking about and interrogating and in questioning in the way that some of your listeners have already kind of have pushed us to do.
Yeah, and I want to come back to that point and how not homogenous as a voting bloc it really is. But Luis, let me ask you, what are some of the top issues on the minds of Latino voters based on your research?
Well, when we asked Latino voters what they consider to be very important to their vote in this year's election, 85% said the economy was very important to them. And this was followed by healthcare. 71% said this is very important to them, and other issues like violent crime and gun policy and immigration were said to be very important for a majority of Latinos, but with slightly lower shares. But there's also a divide between those who are Harris supporters and Trump supporters among Latinos. For example, Trump supporters are more likely to prioritize the economy, crime, and immigration. On the other hand, Harris supporters are more likely to prioritize healthcare, gun policy, abortion, and climate change.
You know, Josue, I want to ask you about this immigration point, because I think it's something where progressives hear some of the things, the frankly racist things that Trump says about immigrants, not always Latinos, but you know, many types of immigrants. And they think, well, of course, then therefore that's disqualifying probably among those voters. But that's not actually what happens. Can you talk about how different Latinos view immigration from different points along the political spectrum?
Oh, that's a really important point. It's, you know, I think, and it speaks to what we were just talking about the diversity within this group. You know, there's all kinds of different ways that we could divide this conversation. Generationally, you know, recently arrived immigrants versus second or third or fourth generation can express different perspectives on immigration. And obviously, where people migrate from can have a big impact, you know, as a lot of people, you know, there's certain immigrant communities, like, let's say, you know, Cuban immigrants, Cuban Americans, who express more conservative viewpoints, including on immigration, than others, you know, regionally. So I think there are lots of different ways that this division, these divisions about attitudes towards immigration express themselves. And I think it's something that is important to recognize. You know, I like that you started kind of pointing us back to previous examples of this conversation, because this division goes way back. I mean, even to the beginning of the 20th century, you know, but some of the first Hispanic or Latino political groups pushing for civil rights for Hispanics. I guess at that time they might call themselves Hispanics or even Mexican Americans. But anyway, these groups themselves had internal tensions about attitudes towards migration. How much should they embrace newly arrived Mexican immigrants, or how much should they oppose immigration or distance themselves from immigrants in order to help secure, you know, access to political rights or, you know, economic opportunity. So these are kind of longstanding, you know, conversations and divisions that I think are really important to acknowledge.
Luis, I wanted to ask you about one of the other differences and breakdowns, not among sort of country of origin or ethnic origin, however you'd say that, but also gender. What does your data tell us about who Latinas and Latinos support when divided that way?
Well, in our recent surveys, Vice President Harris does get higher levels of support than former President Trump among both genders. However, the margin is smaller among Latino men. And this is something that we've seen in other groups recently, and then there's definitely among the general population, women are more likely to favor Kamala Harris, and men are more likely to favor Donald Trump in our polling of the overall population as well. But like I was saying, while Harris receives more support from both genders, that gap is narrower among men.
Josue, one of the other points of division may be religion. I noticed in one of the other Pew findings showed that evangelical Latinos who identify as evangelical tend to favor Trump, but Protestant, I think, is the division that Pew uses. And then yet Catholic and other groups tend to favor Harris. We actually have another piece of tape I want to play right now. This is from a public television documentary called Voces, Latino Vote 2024. We're going to hear from Agustin Quiles, who is president of Mission Talk, an organization aimed at educating people about issues affecting Latinos.
A lot of Latino evangelicals, you know, they tend to lean conservative, but they also care for justice issues, for the poor, for the marginalized. They're invested in making sure that Latino evangelicals, undocumented immigrants, have a path to citizenship.
So, Josue, talk about the role of Latino evangelicals in America.
Yeah, that's a good, an important point. I think it's like with the broader evangelical movement has had a big impact in conservative politics, and with evangelicalism growing in Latino communities, both, you know, in Latin American countries and in communities in the United States. As that quote that you played illustrates, there are, even evangelicalism itself is kind of a diverse, you know, there are diverse perspectives within that. So, you know, there's a, although Latino evangelicals as a whole tend to support conservatives, tend to support Trump, there are differences in some of the issues, particularly in immigration, like the quote mentioned, or like the clip that you played mentioned. You know, there's also divisions, as you mentioned, between Catholic evangelicals and Protestant evangelicals. with traditions of, you know, kind of more socially justice-oriented liberation theologies in the Catholic tradition that continue to influence some of those communities. So I think those are some of the ways that that the Latino evangelicalism both kind of connects to the broader evangelical politics in this country, but also diverges from it in important ways.
All right, we need to take a break. We are going to continue this conversation. We've been talking about how Hispanic and Latino voters have historically favored Democrats, and that is still the case this year, but we have seen Donald Trump cutting into that support. Polling suggests that Latino support for Democrats is at its lowest level in 20 years. We are talking about why that is, and we have begun the hour with Jose David Cisneros, who is a professor at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Also, Luis Noe Bustamante, who is a research associate at the Pew Research Center. If you want to join us, 800-222-9455. A little later in the hour, we're going to be hearing from a political commentator and analyst who is himself a Latino Republican. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the growing interest in conservative and Republican candidates among Latino voters. They still, according to surveys, have majority support for Democrats, but we have seen former president and Republican nominee Donald Trump cutting into that support. We are talking about this with Jose David Cisneros, who is an associate professor of communications and Latino and Latina studies at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Also, Luis Noe Bustamante, who is a research associate at the Pew Research Center. 800-222-9455. Luis, I wanted to ask you about, we talked a little bit earlier about how we use the phrase Latino and Hispanic, but that obviously is a shorthand for many different subcultures, subgroups, however you want to say it. I heard an interview with a Harris campaign official, and I'm not asking you to be a pundit. I know Pew is very careful about being fact-based, but stay with me for a second, if you will. I heard a top Harris official saying that, you know, I'm going to paraphrase here. If every Latino in Florida, every Cuban, Venezuelan, whatever, votes Republican, it doesn't really affect them because the Democrats were going to lose Florida anyway. However, the Puerto Rican community in Pennsylvania is of key concern. What are the limits of our understanding? You know, when we talk about Latinos are more interested in voting Republicans, where does that break down when you get to the state by state level and start thinking about how this plays into the Electoral College?
Well, we do not have state level data when it comes to these origin groups in terms of their intent in vote intention or their views of the candidates. But we do know that a state like Pennsylvania has more diversity in its origins than, let's say, cities in the state like Texas. And while Florida is also known for its diversity, its Latino diversity, there is, like it was mentioned earlier in the show, there's a substantial share that are of Cuban origin. And of course, their background informs many of their views. So from the data standpoint, we do know that that these differences in diversity are important, and then of course in many cities and states these Latino populations are basically interacting with each other, and that could, of course, influence how this community views certain candidates and issues.
Josue, can you weigh in on this and this idea that, you know, there among these different subgroups, there are definitely have been, you know, political past trends. Cubans have historically, Venezuelans have historically been more conservative. How do you see this?
I think this has to do with the contexts in which people, in which different groups migrate to the U.S. and the communities that they migrate into. And it also, you know, and then at the same time, you know, we shouldn't be surprised that, you know, Latinos and or Puerto Rican communities in Pennsylvania are more impactful because they live, you know, they're in a swing state, right? but in terms of the impactful, in terms of the electoral college vote, I mean, right? So, but I think what I was saying about, you know, the context in which communities or in which different groups, you know, migrate is important, you know, when we're talking about, you know, Cuban Americans, for example, you know, the first generations of Cubans who came, you know, in mass in the 1960s tended to be, you know, groups that were kind of more property, that had more, you know, economic power in Cuba. They were obviously fleeing a communist revolution in the context of the Cold War. And so all of that kind of factored into this kind of, you know, Republican or conservative leaning political culture. And that's kind of been cemented, right, through political action committees, through all kinds of policies that, you know, aid Cuban migration. So in contrast to Puerto Ricans, right, who are legally U.S. citizens, so they're not migrants in the same way, right, but Puerto Rico being kind of basically a semi-colony of the United States, you know, having all of the economic and political challenges that come with that, so people migrate to or come to the U.S. seeking better opportunities. They migrate to different communities in New York and in New England. And so, you know, again, I guess you can see how where people are coming from, the time in which they're coming, and the areas in which they settle impact the rise of these political differences, right? And I think that explains some of these differences that we see within these communities.
Well, this will be a very interesting story to continue watching as it evolves in the months and years ahead. Josue David Cisneros is at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Luis Noe Bustamante is with the Pew Research Center. Thank you both for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to bring another voice into this conversation now, and that is Jesus Solorio Jr. He's an entrepreneur and Republican commentator based in New Hampshire, but he was based in Chicago and actually ran for Congress in Illinois' 4th District. Jesus, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Brian, thank you for having me.
So, as you see it, what is driving more Latinos to tell pollsters they want to vote Republican in this year's presidential election?
Yeah, so I want to preface by saying that whether you're a fan of former President Trump or you are not a fan, I think that more people are paying attention to politics because of him. And I think that's one of the reasons that we're seeing more interest with Hispanic Latino voters moving, trending towards the Republican Party.
We alluded to this in the introduction to this conversation, but Ronald Reagan reportedly said Hispanics are conservative. They just don't know it yet. Talk about how conservatism can intertwine with some aspects of Latino culture.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Latino voters tend to be a little bit more conservative. By that, I mean, you know, we're our religion is very important. Our family is very important. You know, when it comes to finances and pocketbook issues, you know, we're a very tight-knit community. And I think if you remove the labels Republican, conservative, and just look at those top line attributes, you would tend to say that the Latino community is a conservative Republican. Could be looked at as a conservative group.
Based on issues, if you take away the sort of the optics of it, if you will, you know, and yet those optics are a big part of politics. And we actually heard about this from one of our listeners. Franny and Hinckley sent a text message wondering about Trump's macho swagger. Does that appeal to male Latinos? Do you think there's anything to that?
I mean, I think there's some truth to that. But again, I think it comes down to the issues. President Trump, former President Trump, is able to articulate what he wants to do. You know, he encapsulated his entire policy agenda into, you know, make America great again. Whereas now Vice President Harris is really having trouble articulating her vision. And not only that, you have 4 years of former President Trump and 3.5 years of the Harris-Biden administration. And voters across the board can compare, and they know, they see it in their pocketbooks that when President Trump was in office, you know, their wages were going up, people were starting businesses, and now everything is skyrocketing and they're feeling the pinch.
You mentioned the phrase the slogan that Trump uses, make America great again. There are commentators who hear that and say what he really means is make America more white again. And I wonder how that sounds to you. How do you think when you hear that and you hear that reaction to it?
Look, it's been the playbook of Democrats. It doesn't matter. You can go back to even the late John McCain. They always attribute Republicans and throw the racist and misogynist label. And again, voters are realizing and can see that when President Trump, when Republicans were in control, things were far more better. And also, you want to look at former President Trump's administration. He had women, he had, you know, minorities that were elevated to cabinet level positions. I don't know about you, but that doesn't seem like an individual that would be, that would have a racist tone in their personality. So I think voters can see through that the playbook that Democrats continue to throw every single election cycle, because they can't articulate a proper vision and policy agenda for the country.
The last Republican presidential candidate to get a share of Latino voters as large as the one that Trump might get, depending on the survey you look at, was President Bush in 2004. He had 40%. What do you think made President George W. Bush popular with Latino voters then?
You know, I think it was the fact that people saw President Bush and they could see themselves, you know, hanging out with him and having a beer. And, you know, that high watermark was the 40%. And then we saw a dip with President Obama. And then that trend started to pick up again. And we're seeing that the support among Latino voters is closing. And there was a recent Fox News poll that had President Trump ahead when it came to likely Latino voters.
I haven't seen that poll, and most of the ones I've seen have been more along the lines with what we heard from Pew, which is like maybe 60-40, 61-39 in that area. But let me ask you, so okay, Bush had this high watermark, 40%. Trump is maybe closing in on that. That is not how John McCain and Mitt Romney did with voters in 2008, 2012. What do you think that they lacked that Trump and Bush had in terms of appeal?
Well, they were going up against a very popular individual with Barack Obama. And so I think that's why they weren't able to grasp that percentage. And again, after 8 years of President Obama, you start to see the trend go back, start to increase with folks moving towards the Republican Party.
All right, I do want to talk briefly about Trump's rhetoric, because that is a huge part of these conversations. Here's another clip from that documentary, Voces, Latino Vote 2024 from PBS. This is Daryl Morin with Forward Latino, which is a nonpartisan group advocating for Latino civil rights.
I graduated from college a Reagan Republican. And, you know, I believe in party loyalty and those types of things. But when the former president came on the scene and started using the type of rhetoric that was literally inspiring hate crimes and attacks on people of Hispanic descent, And that's when I formally renounced my membership and became an independent. We receive calls on almost a weekly basis of individuals who feel they've been threatened, and in most cases, attacked. And sadly, we know we're not even catching a fraction. More times than not, the victims are U.S. citizens with prominent Hispanic features or a Hispanic surname. But this has all really come up to a whole new level with extremist and false rhetoric and remarks that are being made by Donald Trump.
So this point was echoed by one of our listeners, Christopher in Brinfield, who sent us a text message saying, Republicans want their votes, Latino votes, but they don't want them in America. How do you respond to that?
I think that's not the truth. Again, our country is a very welcoming country. And what Democrats fail to do is differentiate between legal immigration and illegal immigration. And what we saw with the Harris-Biden administration when they came in is they undid all the work of President Trump. And what do we get for that? An influx of illegal immigrants coming to our country. A couple of weeks ago, there was a report from Border Patrol stating that 300,000 folks had some type of criminal activity. Now, this isn't attributed to any singular demographic group, but this is the amount of people. We don't know who's coming into our country. And President Trump was able to put a focus on immigration. And that was a big issue in 2016. And now, again, we see that at this year's election.
So I understand that 20% of Latino voters will be voting for the first time this election. As you look ahead into the future, where do you see these trends going? What in your view, do Republicans need to do to win more support, maybe even someday majority support from Latino voters?
You know, that's the one thing that I continue to tell Republican candidates and the Republican Party is we need to do a better job of engaging with Latino voters on an ongoing basis. We saw that the RNC and the Trump campaign were investing resources. They opened up resource centers across the country in predominantly minority communities. I think we need to do that on an ongoing basis. And again, the thing that I'm seeing with Latino voters and minority voters is the policies. They want to know what the vision is, what politicians are going to be pushing for. And unfortunately, it's not only the Harris-Biden campaign that have been, you know, bad for the country. You see blue states. I mean, Illinois, again, an influx of people are leaving in droves because of the bad policies. And it's been a state that's been controlled by one party. So people are paying attention. Again, whether you like Trump or don't, people are really tuning in and analyzing and seeing which candidates and which parties are best for their pocketbook.
Jesus Solorio Jr. is an entrepreneur, a Republican commentator. He's based in New Hampshire now, but he used to be in Chicago. He actually ran for
Rhode Island, actually.
My mistake. Rhode Island. Thank you. It's all, you know, once you get East Coast, it's all
exactly the
same to me. Flyover country, I call it. All right, Jesus, thank you so much for being with us.
Brian, thank you so much for having me.
More to come here on the 21st show in the Midwest in Illinois. Stay with us.